Welcome to Real Estate with Wendy podcast. In the booth with me is Jean. Okay, so in this Nuggets of Truth podcast, we're going to talk about several things today that are just little nuggets for everyone. And again, hopefully it'll put some things together for everyone. If you're having some problems with understanding exactly what you need to do or how to put things into action, let me go ahead and try my best to address some of that today. But first, let's talk about some things in the market. Let's talk about something that happened a little bit for me. I have been seeing some change in the market, kind of doing some ups and downs and some drastic losses in the stock markets over the past few weeks. I don't know if you pay attention to that stuff. I keep hearing things about people that are having, you know, lifestyle situations going on right now, things that are drastically altering the course of their lives. And it's like, whoa, signs of a changing market. We talked about that a little bit last week, but the signs are still coming. For me personally, I saw something on social media website and it said something about, like, I don't know, it wasn't eggs this time, but it was something else costing an exorbitant amount of money, like $12 for something ridiculous that used to cost like $2 or $3. And I was thinking to myself, this is crazy. This is how past, and I've been through several of these, but this is how past market changes changed. And nobody saw what was coming then either until it was already done, until it had already happened. You know, one day we're sitting there and nobody has a job and everybody's broke and everybody's wondering how the heck they're going to survive the next however long and just tripping. Same sort of situation with COVID. You know, everybody was having to sit home wondering if there was going to be food on the table for the next week or the next month. You know, how are you going to survive if you can't go to the store and you can't get the groceries because they're not there? Supply chain issues, just all sorts of things going on. So again, I'm seeing more empty houses. I'm seeing more people struggling. I'm seeing more signs to me that things are changing. That goes on to like finding the deal and doing the research and the things we're going to talk about today. When the market is doing what it's fixing to do, what do we do as an investor? We get super happy if we have money, if we have the money saved up. And let's say, for example, I know I have friends, I have people that have prepared so well and they have, you know, 50 grand saved. I know people that have prepared sort of well and they have, you know, 10 or 20 grand saved. I know people that have, you know, a couple of grand. And then I know people who have nothing saved and they're in the red and they're living paycheck to paycheck. Doesn't matter where you are. It really doesn't. If you're doing the best you can do, here's my advice. I would say save your dimes, save your coins, start getting prepared now because it's only going to get more difficult to navigate. It's only going to get more treacherous. So save your monies where you can and do whatever you can do because even if you're starting at zero or nothing, you can have a little something. And the next month, have maybe $10. The next month, maybe $20, $50. Maybe that could turn into $100, could turn into $2 to $5. You know, I've seen deals in a bad market get got for $500. So whatever you can do, wherever you can get in, start saving now, start doing what you can now, because here soon it could be. These people are talking like Elon Musk, talking about the market bubble that's fixing to burst big time, according to him. If that's fixing to happen, then it could be like another 2008 where people are buying up houses for, you know, $2,000 to $5,000 in full cash, no mortgage. That's the, here's what you got the house for price. And wow, you know, think of what you could do if that was to be the case. I'm not expecting it to happen just like that, but if you could ascertain deals like that at those prices and you had the money saved, that would be the thing to do. And that's what I'm going to try to do as well, is I'm going to try to save my coins. I'm going to try to make sure that I have the money set aside so that if something does happen and I do have the opportunity to pay cash for something, best bet, I'm going to do it. Or if I have a chance to get in and use that cash as a down payment on something that I can finance, best bet, I'm going to do it. While I'm saying to pay cash and save cash and use your cash to buy things, I also say this on the other side of that coin. Use as little of your cash as possible. Use as little as you can for down payments. If you can get away and pay nothing down and get yourself a loan for a property instead, do that versus keeping your cash in your pocket, because you never know what may come up. And you can always use that cash to do something else, remodeling or getting it fixed up so that you can turn around and burr some money back out and buy another property. There are positions to be in that, again, you have to have cash sometimes to do it, but you have to also know how to negotiate your wealth against making more wealth. So we'll talk about these things again in another future podcast.
So let's say I want to take advantage of this turn in the market and I have a small amount of money. With this turn, does that mean lower interest rates, or is it going to be harder to get a loan or easy to get a loan, but it's not really a good time to get a loan? What's the answer on that?
Okay, so if the market downturns, it will be lower interest rates. At least they will go down. And it will be harder to get a loan because the economy is bad and people are, with uncertain times, means that it's harder to finance, harder to get people to turn loose of money. And that includes the banks too. Both of those is going to play into this. However, I would say this, with the downturn market, what you want to do is you want to take what money you have. I would say if you have an IRA or a 401k or a universal policy or a whole life, or, you know, there's lots of insurance policies that can be used, like I said, as vehicles to purchase real estate and rental properties. And you can use these as ways to leverage money against making more money. So if you want to use your, for example, let's just say you have 10 grand in a Roth IRA or any type of IRA. If you have that money sitting there, and let's say, for example, the next door neighbor right here says, hey, I want to sell my house. If you give me $10,000 down, I'll write the contract with you right now. We'll close on it, blah, blah, blah. And of course you say, okay, great. You know, I want to do that deal. Well, then you can use your IRA as the down payment, not having to take money out of your savings or your checking account or anywhere else. Then your IRA will have ownership of that home, making it tax-free while that is inside that IRA, while it's inside that account. For example, if you bought that house, you pay 10 grand down, you bought it for 100 grand, and now 90 is still owed on it. So you have a $90,000 loan plus whatever closing costs. Okay, so now let's say you rent that out for $1,000 a month, which you use to pay down on that mortgage, right? You just sit there and pay down. Then you can turn around. Again, it doesn't have to be in a down market, but you can turn around once you have enough equity in any market, and you can get a HELOC on that property, and you can turn around and use that to buy another property, which you just turn around and do the same thing all over again. It's always a good time to, for example, see if you can get pre-approved. I would say call your bank at any time, even if you're not looking to buy something right now or to become an investor right now. Don't you want to know if you qualify? Don't you want to know where your credit's at and how much it would take to get there? I personally have 3 or 4 mortgage guys that I could call and recommend to people at any time and say, hey, you know, just for craps and giggles, here's what you can do right now. Here's where I stand on how much I would have to pay in interest, how much I would have to put down, how much house I can afford, just so I know at any given moment, should I find a deal. That way, I don't have to wait on an investor. I don't have to ask nobody for hard money. I just know what I'm available to do with my own credit at any given time if I should find a deal. And when is it a good time to find a deal? It's always a good time. There, in any market, you can find a deal. There is no hard rule to say, oh, the market's up real high, so nobody can find a deal. Yeah, there's still deals out there, and the smart people are still finding them. In a down market, it is much easier to find a deal and much easier to score those deals because everybody else doesn't have the money. They haven't been saving. Their credit has turned to trash because they may have gotten foreclosed on or evicted, and now they're having credit issues and they can't do anything else. So who does that leave? It leaves the more wealthy people who already can afford to do things. And it really takes a lot of people out of the playing field and leaves only the super wealthy historically. Now, again, if people just knew how to get in on this stuff without using their own money and their own credit, that would level the playing field to everyone, and then everybody could get in and do it, which is what I'm trying to make everyone understand, that you can get in and do it, and you can do it if you have the right deal without using your credit at all. I could say something like, if I had terrible credit, I could say something like, hey, you know, Mom or Uncle Joe or whoever, I found this fabulous deal. Can you finance it for me? My credit sucks, but the deal's incredible. Could you finance it for me? You know dang well if the deal is good, somebody's going to do that deal with you. So I'm always talking about how we're always in the process of looking for deals. We're always looking for investments. We're always looking for things to wholesale, things to do, whatever it is that we're doing in life, if we're flipping, if we're buying and holding, burring, whatever. So on the way here, I was just minding my own business, driving down the road, when lo and behold, I saw this house that before I had never even noticed. And it's, you know, this is a road that I travel pretty often. It was so overgrown that I had never noticed. Well, all of a sudden, I guess somebody has done just a little bit of clearing of the land. And now you can see that there's a house there and that it's in quite a bit of need of working on and it's in disrepair. So, what do I do next? I write down the address and I will, of course, as soon as I get home, begin doing the research to see what's going on with this deal. Which brings me to my next topic. Funding the deal, doing the research that funds the deal. When you're funding the deal, you're going to look up things like mortgage interest rates. You're going to look up different types of loans and things that are available to you, whether it's private money, whether it's hard money, whether it's conventional lending, whether it's a HELOC, whether you're going to do a DISCR loan. There's all types of loans out there. So you'll be trying to do research on what type of loan that you're going to need, as well as doing the research on the deal that you wrote down to see, you know, hey, is this something that's going to be a negotiable deal? You're going to find out, is the property, you know, who's the owner? Try to skip trace to get a hold of their phone number. Talk to them personally, either in person or over the phone. Let them know that you want to write up a contract at whatever price range you think is appropriate as an investor, which what do we say? 50%. Of course, because we're investors and wholesalers, we are not consumers. We do not pay full price. So you do the research on both of those things. You're researching your deal that you find. You're finding out the things that you need to find out, which brings me to my next topic. When you're researching this deal, how is it that you find out the things that you need to find out about a property that is sitting empty? If it's sitting empty, you would wonder things like, ooh, are there liens against it? Ooh, you know, why is it sitting empty? What's going on? There's obviously something wrong here, right? So how do you find out what is going on with that? I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys today, and this is going to be a whole nother topic in the future. I'm going to tell you a huge secret of mine. One of the websites that I go to research and look up any type of information on my properties in my state is the OSCCGA. That's the website that I go to that has all of the states, all of the counties, all of their records are listed online. Every lien, every warranty deed, every security deed, every cancellation, every quit claim, you name it. They're all on there. And of course, with all these things, you can trace the title and do the research on your own to search the title back and make sure that it is a clean title. Not only that, you can see if there are liens against it, easements, what are they for? There is just so much information available on this website. However, it is not free. There is a cost every single month to have access to this website. And it's something that, you know, if you don't do this all the time and you're not doing this on a daily basis, you may not feel like the investment is worth it. For me, in my line of work, being a realtor and a property manager and an investor and a wholesaler, trust me, we need to know, especially things like going to the tax sale. I have another podcast episode that talks about tax sales. And when we're going and we're researching these properties, trust me when I tell you that it is extremely profitable that you know this information and that you have looked up all the information you need to know on each and every property you're doing. So the OSCCGA website, that's something that we're going to talk about later in more detail, how to do the things that I'm talking about, pulling liens and deeds and doing title searches and so forth. We'll go into that later. The next thing you do is once you've got this information together and you've determined that it's a good deal, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to call up the person you've skip traced and you're going to negotiate with them the price that you're going to be purchasing or trying to purchase or wholesale this property for. For example, let's say it's a $100,000 house. The way it sits right now in not fixed up shape is just $100,000. So if it's worth $100,000 right now, how much am I going to offer for it?
$50,000.
That's right. I'm going to offer $50,000 for it. Now, I will say this. Usually, when I say, here's my price, this is my price, this is my best and final, and this is what it is. And I don't really do a whole lot of negotiating. That's just my style. Now, I will say that with this caveat. If they say, oh, I can't do it unless it's $50,500 or it's $55,000, like if it's slightly over whatever the 50% range is, okay, fine. If it's slightly over. But I'm here to tell you that is something that just doesn't happen as often as you would think, that they're only off by a few dollars. Generally, either we're right on point and they accept the deal, or they're just not negotiable at all. And again, if they're the ones that are in the situation where they're having to, for example, almost getting foreclosed on, or the tax man has come upon their door and said, if you don't pay this thing in 45 days, that's it. We're done. It's going up to auction. In cases like this, you have no other choice sometimes other than to make those hard deals and to make those, you know, 50% slash sacrifices. So again, this is something that in the right circumstance, trust me, you will find those deals. But I don't go much over that just because we're investors. We try to stay right with the 50%. I try not to negotiate too much. You can if you want. But again, most investors, I say 50%, most other investors are not going to go but much above 60 or 70% of the value of the home. So for example, if I'm preaching 50%, mine is a no-fail method. I'm here to tell you guys, there's just the value if the market crashes. If you buy according to these calculations, you're still going to be fine. Whereas I've seen it that with using the 60% or the 70% of the current value, then I've seen it to where it's much harder if the economy were to take a nosedive and crash to see that value come back. Be careful, guys. Again, other investors may tell you that you can do 60% or 70% and still be a successful investor. Yeah, you can, as long as the market doesn't change. So be careful. The next thing that I want to talk about, guys, is going to be briefly a little bit about IRAs. Has anybody ever heard of an IRA?
I know I have one, but I don't know what it does.
Okay, so a Roth IRA is one in particular that I recommend because it is a self-directed IRA. That means that you're in control versus some other types of IRAs where you're not in control. I also want to talk in the future, at least. We're going to go into some of these topics in the future and just do a whole nother podcast about them because they're such deep wells of information. We could do one just about an IRA topic all by itself. Same with universal life insurance. Universal life insurance, or a UIP, universal insurance policy. Universal insurance is something that a lot of people don't know about, have never heard of, much like with options. It's like, huh? What are you talking about? So you can use your insurance policy in order to purchase real estate investments. You can use it in order to do certain types of, it has to be like, for example, a rental property. Again, there are certain things that you can buy within your UIP or your universal policy that, again, are investments that you don't live in, that are going to be rented out for X amount of the year, that are going to be making you money. And again, the monies that you collect goes right back into that policy. It is a lifelong policy. There's no expiration. As long as you're alive, this policy is in place as long as you pay your premiums. Again, this is something that wealthy people use as a vehicle to hide their money from being taxed. That's the only reason that people would do these things or put their money and buy things through their Roth IRA versus paying cash for it. The IRA is a tax shelter. The IP, the universal life insurance policy, is a tax shelter. In fact, I've heard it's a better one than even the Roth IRA, which boggles my mind because I could tell you story after story about how me and my investor friends have, over the years, I have wholesaled them properties where I found the deals for them as their wholesaler, and then I would assign those deals to them once I found them, and of course for a fee where I made money on the front end. Then of course these houses often need to be fixed up, painted, carpet changed out, whatever needed to be done. I was there to assist, lend a hand, and make money on the middle part of the deal as well. And then also on the back end of the deal when it came time to either do the property management, and even when it came time to sell, I was there as the realtor for them selling the home, and I was there as their property manager the whole time that we did property management during all the many years that I've had my many investors. I try to be available for them in every single step and in every single aspect of the real estate game. No matter what they're doing, I try to be that go-to person for them so that they don't have to go anywhere else. I just do it all. These are things that, as a successful investor, you're going to want to have someone who's going to be your professional realtor. You're going to want to have someone who's going to be your professional property manager. You're going to want to have someone who's going to be your professional contractor or project manager, someone who knows how to do plumbing. Listen, I can do some things, but Gene, I am not a plumber. I am not a roofer. I can climb up on your roof and I can tell you, hey, you need to see a professional. You've got some soft spots up here. I can tell you, like, by looking at your plumbing, hey, you've got a leak. We need to address this. Hey, we better call a professional. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can guide you on the things as far as real estate. I'm your girl. Come to me. You don't need to go anywhere else. But then I defer to the people who are the professionals in their own field. I prefer to defer to the HVAC guy because he's the professional and he's his field. Same thing with the carpet guy. Like, I don't do carpet. So anyways, make sure that you have your professionals in place to assist you once you do start getting deals and you do start doing whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're wholesaling, whether you're flipping, whether you're buying holding, any method that you're doing to grow your portfolio, you're going to want to do it with the right people and grow the right team. So you've got all those people in place and you're thinking outside the box and you're thinking of things like going to your tax sale and getting those tax deeds, which is a very outside the box way to acquire properties, as you already know. You're trying to think of things like doing your pre-foreclosures and your subject to properties and your probate deals and all of the other things that you're going to find driving for dollars and looking as you're going to and from to different places, listening in your friend group and hearing of possible deals and situations that may help you in the long run. All the while doing all of this and trying to find your deals and your investors, you're also looking for your funding of those deals that you're going to be finding and doing, and hopefully growing your money and getting your credit right and doing all of the things that you need to do to grow and take a step by step in the right direction every day to grow as an investor. Again, this is just kind of here's what all you need to do to start in the right direction. But with that, we need to have some more podcasts in the future to talk more about things like how exactly to negotiate the deal, some scripted conversations, some things that, again, even if you don't know what to say, I can tell you, here's what you say. And it's just a easy script for you to memorize and then spit out. And then as time goes on, you will, I guess, tweak it and cater it to your own self. This is something that just will get you started in knowing kind of what direction you want to be driving your verbiage and your conversation into. For example, when you pick up the phone and you're talking to someone that, let's say, I saw 123 Main Street and it's empty and it's boarded up and it looks like it's in very bad condition. I've got the address here. I've looked up all the information. Here's Joe Blow's phone number. I'm ringing the phone. What do I say? Hey, Joe, you looking to sell your house? I see it's empty. You know, he may say, no, I'm not looking to sell. Well, it's empty right now, sir. It's not making you any money. Have you thought about selling? Did you know what the market is doing right now? Well, I see here, and again, you want to already having done your you want to already have had your research done and prepared things like knowing what he bought the property for. For example, if he got it 20 years ago for $10,000, it may be like, oh my gosh, that you're offering $50,000 now. He may not realize that it's worth $100,000 when you're offering $50,000. He may think that, oh my gosh, he's getting all this great value in this great deal and that he's making a lot of money off of you. It helps if you have all this knowledge and all of this power that you're armed with, having done all of your research, to then know how to talk to these people in your negotiations. Like I said, I've had a lot of people lately, having listened to the podcast, say, Wendy, could you just put it into a wrap-up for me so that we can explain a lot of things, but also give some new information and hopefully get everyone on the same page and everyone on their feet. Yeah, I have dropped several pearls in here with some information that probably you've not heard before. So if nothing else, you can start Googling and then drop me a line. Give me something in an email and I will definitely either, if it's a comment or a question, I will respond. Let me know on realestatewendypodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening this afternoon and have a great day.